there's a lot of stuff that we could talk about. You know, I think there's always a lot of stuff we could talk about Jesus, but let me just go off something, just because I feel like it would be good to start here. We'll just start here at least from Friday, okay? Because Friday we were talking, what were we talking about? We were talking about Joseph a little bit at the beginning, and then we were talking about a lot of stuff after that from Isaiah 55, okay? But we start off talking about Joseph, all right? And we start about talking about Joseph and when Joseph was in Potiphar's house, which is actually symbolic, and I don't know if we'll get to share what it's symbolic of today, but even just on the surface, the Bible said the Lord made everything that Joseph did to prosper. And I was just using that as an example. There's lots of examples and lots of verses, but I was just using that example in particular to just show how the Holy Spirit is the one that bears fruit for us, okay? I mentioned this as an example, and I'm not just saying this just because. I'm saying this because this is actually something that I went through, and I was I talked to the Lord about this. But a while ago, a few years ago by now, I actually asked the Lord. This had happened to me, you know, even spending time with God, but in particular about with preaching, okay? With preaching, to me, years ago, I would preach, and then there would be so many times where I would get so discouraged because I was really trying to, like, preach my heart out, you know what I mean? And I just would, sometimes it would fall flat, and I'm like, what is not working about this? I mean, especially at the beginning, especially before I knew that who I am is what I see in Jesus, and there's no preaching. I will never be a preacher, okay? I'm a son of God. I'm like Jesus. That's what our purpose is. That, you know, our purpose is to know him. Our purpose is to relate with him and have a relationship with him, to be like him. That's who we are. You'll never, you know what I'm saying? There's nothing that you do on the outward that is who you are, okay? Those are just tasks that we have, and it's fine to have tasks that the Holy Spirit performs through you for the time being. But anyway, even before I knew all that, and I knew that you should relate with Jesus and stuff, I taught, though, so many times, and I was mostly dissatisfied with every time I taught. And you know what? There is no compliment that you're going to try and feed from a person that's going to actually give you God kind of confidence. It's not, you don't need people, you need the Lord. And that kind of was like, okay, so I started trusting the Lord with that. Even before, I didn't even know what to do. I was so discouraged, I would be like, I don't even want to teach anymore. This is my reasoning back then. People come in, and in my terms back then, they come in to be fed, and I can't even feed them, you know, and I just, they leave, like, empty-handed, and blah, 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 so they have a pity party. But, again, it's because of lack of knowledge. You do stupid stuff because you think stupid stuff, right? It's always what it is. Stupid thoughts produce stupid actions, stupid words, especially, first and foremost. So, anyhow, thinking stupid, not relating with Jesus, relating with myself in my actions. So, look at the wrong mirror. So, I was getting the wrong impression, right? So, anyway, so that's where I was, and I just started, once the Lord started teaching me about who I actually was in Christ, I realized, well, I'm not my actions. That's just the fruit, or can be, the fruit of who I am at best. And so I started just going home, and I would just start, I didn't know what else to do. I just started naming every good thing about Jesus I could think about. Jesus, you are awesome. You are wise. You are perfect. And it didn't feel good at first because I really wasn't getting it. If you're ever spending time with the Lord and it doesn't feel good, it's not because spending time with the Lord doesn't feel good. It's because you don't get it yet, and unbelief doesn't feel good. Because when you get it, guess what? It always feels good, right? Because seeing Jesus feels good. Not seeing Jesus doesn't feel good. Okay? So if you ever, like, spending time with the Lord, it feels so hard. No, seeing Jesus doesn't feel hard. Whatever you're thinking at the time is hard. Okay? It's hard to deal with. Maybe because you're trying to do something in yourself and not trusting Jesus with it, perhaps. Right? That's always hard. So anyway, the faith is never hard. The Bible says it's not burdensome. So anyhow, it was hard at first because I didn't get it. I didn't get it, and also the way that I was perceiving it, I didn't understand it in full, how to relate with Jesus. I just thought if I just named a bunch of good things about Jesus, it was going to make me feel better or something. So I don't know. I was growing. You know, I'm growing. So I would name things like that. Then after a while, I'd be like, okay, so like because I was able just to be confident in Jesus, not be confident in my actions, and I was growing in that, I was able to teach and be confident. And you know what? I could say something stupid while I was teaching, and I'm like, thank you, Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Like I maintain my confidence because I have such confidence toward God through Jesus. So that was my thing, right? But then sometimes, he's like, I'm doing the same thing. And this is what I was talking about on Friday. It's like, I would be preaching, and I'm like, I notice. And again, I'm only saying this because this is something that I asked the Lord about. Sometimes I preach, I'm like, it didn't feel good at all. Sometimes I preach, and it felt great. Sometimes I preach, and it felt super hard. Sometimes I preach, and it felt super easy. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, why? Like, I'm doing the same thing. Same, it's the same me, coming into church with the same perspective, doing the same thing, and sometimes it's great, and sometimes it feels like, burr. Like, why does it feel like that? And I was walking, and I know the Holy Spirit showed it to me, because I wouldn't know the truth unless he did. And I was walking one day, and I just said to myself, I said, you know what, Lord? I said, the Holy Spirit is wisdom. What makes a wise person is the Holy Spirit. Not how much they learned, not how much they went to school. The Holy Spirit makes a wise person. I said, you know what makes a good service? When the Holy Spirit says something, that's a good service then. And let me not say that. What makes a profitable message? It's a great service because it's a great day because Jesus is with us and that's what it is. So let me not use that terminology. But what I mean is, what makes a profitable message is when the Holy Spirit says something. Okay? It's not even the content of the message. It's really not. You say, yeah, but what if I just get up there and I just speak Jesus and I want to speak Jesus? Doesn't that make it a profitable message? No. No, it does not. Because you cannot speak the wisdom of God about Jesus of yourself. It doesn't make it a good message just because you get up there just wanting to share about Jesus. That's a great perspective, but the performance of that, you cannot do that. That doesn't make a good message just because you get up and desire to share about Jesus. It makes a good message when you get up there and you've forgotten the speaking aspect of the message as if it were ever yours, and you realize the Holy Spirit is in me to do that for me, and that's what gives you confidence. And then when the Holy Spirit says something, that is what makes a good message. I could teach the same thing and it'd be the Holy Spirit, and it's profitable. I could teach the exact same thing with the exact same words, even. I could repeat the same words with the same enthusiasm when the weather is the same, with the same people in the room, under the same circumstances, and it'd be totally unprofitable. We have to get this into our heads. What makes something profit or not profit is the Holy Spirit, period. Galatians 5 is like the easiest, just the easiest, easiest, quickest way for me to say this. It's just very, very easy, and this is, it is the quickest way to say this, but watch this. Galatians 5, verse 19 talks about the works of the flesh. Galatians 5, 22, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Now, I do believe there's a reason why he says the word fruit here. The word fruit, I'm not going to go into that right now, what the definition of the word fruit is and all that kind of stuff, because I don't believe that fruit just merely means a result. But the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit is of the Spirit. Fruit is of the Spirit. The Spirit bears fruit. Now, I know I'm picking this apart right now. The fruit of the Spirit, and I'm picking that apart. That's not how I meditate, just so you know. There is no formula on how to meditate. You're not going to understand something just because you look at Galatians 5:22 and say it in a whole bunch of different tones. The fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit is the fruit. The fruit comes from the Spirit. But I am breaking this down so that you see something. The fruit is of the Spirit. So, it didn't say the fruit is of how you do something. The fruit is just merely of the Spirit. You could be on the wrong track right now. And if you trust the Holy Spirit and you allow the Holy Spirit to work, and there's a way to do that, the Holy Spirit will turn it around, get you on course, and make things prosper. Even though you were doing the wrong thing before. Just because you trust Jesus and not yourself. You could try to do the right thing and it not prosper. Why? Because it's not about what you do. It's the fruit is of the Spirit. The Spirit bears fruit. Fruit, which, okay, I got to give you at least a little bit taste of what I'm kind of where I'm coming from. Fruit. I believe fruit doesn't just mean results, okay? So fruit is not fitting to say of everything. Fruit may have something to do with, and please take this as an opinion right now. The only reason I'm saying this is just kind of so you can get into my head a little bit. The reason why I'm saying the word fruit also is because in the Bible, I'll just give you the verses, okay? Like in Cain's, I shared this one other time. In Cain's, Cain and Abel, in that account, when Cain was cursed, and no, Cain wasn't cursed as punishment for his sin, because his killing Abel wasn't being imputed to him, you could say. God wasn't just mad at him. It was because God takes vengeance for the righteous as a blessing for the righteous, okay? So that's why God cursed Cain. So, because he killed his brother Abel, who was righteous, okay? So God took vengeance for Abel's sake, not because he was against Cain, but because he was for Abel, okay? That's how it happens. So they weren't under a law, just so you know. People think, oh, that was punishment for sin. Like, they're not surprised. But anyhow, when God cursed Cain and said that the earth will no longer yield its strength to you, okay? Now, what would you normally say there? You would think God would say the earth will no longer bear fruit for you, right? But he said the earth will no longer bear birth its strength for you. Okay, also in the law, the Bible talks about if a man gives birth to a firstborn child, if it's his firstborn, the first one that is birthed from that man, I don't mean from the man like that, but I mean the firstborn from a man, the Bible calls it the first of his strength. Okay, so I'm just giving you the verses. That's just kind of where I'm at. Okay, so I'm not trying to define the word right now. I'm not sure. But it does seem that fruit, it's spoken of there as like strength or something, an exertion of strength in some way. So that's just what the verses I think about. So the fruit of the Spirit, though, so just kind of with that in mind, though, fruit of the Spirit, we know that if something is fruitful, it happens what? Or how? By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what makes something fruitful. It's the Holy Spirit that exerts his power and bears fruit. There's nothing that's ever happened that's actually been profitable other than by the Holy Spirit, okay? So this is why we were talking about on Friday. We were talking about since prosperity is by the Holy Spirit, then rather than try to think about what can I do better to better my situation, why don't we just, if we didn't know, the best thing to do would just say, ask Jesus and say, Jesus, teach me how to allow the Holy Spirit to work through me then. Right? Isn't that just the better route to take than to say, oh, maybe I can do something to fix it? No, because if you're going to try to do something to fix it and you know the fruit is only from the Holy Spirit, and if you're not the Holy Spirit, that means you can't bear fruit of yourself. John 15 says that the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. So if the Bible already tells you ahead of time you cannot bear fruit of yourself, that means there's nothing that you can do to actually make it profitable. So rather than say, Father, how better can I work for you? How better can I serve you? What can I do wrong? If I'm out of your will, maybe this is why things aren't working. It's not that things aren't working because you're doing something wrong outside of God's will. Sometimes people say, this is what people say, if you're outside of God's will and you're doing something, things aren't going to work for you. And I'll agree, it won't work for you. But if you were to go over here and try to do the will of God, it still wouldn't work for you. You know what I'm saying? Because things just don't work for you because if it's coming from you. Okay? So I'm not going to disagree with anyone that says if you're outside the will of God, it ain't going to work. It ain't going to bear fruit. I'll agree. But where I'm going to disagree is where people said, if you get in the will of God, though, things will flow for you again. I disagree with you. Let's go over to Romans 7, because I always mention it. It's just the easiest thing in my mind sometimes the Holy Spirit just brings up for me as to how to kill thoughts like that. People say this, okay? If you're out of the will of God and you're not doing what God wants you to do, things aren't going to work for you. And like I said, I totally agree with that. That's what the Bible says. Because you can't bear fruit of yourself. So if you're doing something, it's not going to bear fruit. But it also goes for if you're trying to do the will of God. Because then you know what people do? If I tell you things aren't working for you because you're doing things outside the will of God, what are you going to do? I want you guys to answer me, okay? I'm going to say it one more time, and then I want you guys to answer me. If I tell you, if you guys are outside the will of God, things aren't going to work for you. Nothing's going to happen profitable in your life if you're outside the will of God and doing things that God doesn't want you to do. What are you going to do? What is that going to make you want to do? Exactly, right? You're going to want to find out, God, what is your will? And you're going to what? You're going to try to get into the will of God. You're going to try to do the right thing. But why are you going to try to do the right thing? So things can work for you again, right? If they're not working because you're outside the will of God, you know what that means? It would work if you were inside the will of God, right? I mean, like, it just makes sense. If you're doing the wrong thing and that's why nothing's happening, then it makes sense that if you do the right thing, then something will happen good for you, right? But neither direction is going to be profitable. You see, I'm going to say this. I was thinking about this. I was editing my message because the first part to this is actually already up. I was thinking about this. I said this in the past also, but fruit is not a matter of what you do. It's a matter of who is doing it. Okay? That's what it is. Fruit is not a matter. You could turn right, you could turn left, you could turn up, you could turn down, and you will not bear fruit because fruit is from the Holy Spirit. Nothing good comes from, even Jesus said himself, no one is good but God. No one is good but God. No one is righteous but God. No one is perfect but God. You say, but don't we have what's good and pleasing and perfect? Yes. God has made you good. God has made you pleasing. God has made you perfect. But why do you have those attributes? Because they're his attributes that he gave you. So you can still say there's no one that's good but God. Because the goodness that you have is God's. If I lost you there, that's okay. Just let's move on. So watch this. So it's not because Romans 7 describes how Paul was trying to do the right thing so that he could bear proper fruit and he could receive proper results. But he's just simply trying to do the right thing, okay? Poor guy here, right? Poor guy trying to do the right thing, and then you'll see how it ends up at the end, right? Literally, poor guy. Poor guy. That's poor guy without the Holy Spirit. What Paul describes in Romans 7 is not talking about a Christian, okay? So if you guys were to go home and read this whole chapter, which is fine if you want to, but that's not talking about a Christian, okay? Paul's talking about himself, like almost like a theoretic situation under the law, okay? It's very, very apparent. Very, very apparent. Now, okay, he talks about when he was under the law. See what he starts talking about here about the commandment in verse 10? He starts talking about how he was once without the law, but then it says when the commandment came, when the law was given to Paul, he starts talking about things like that. Let's just give you a real quick example in Romans 7:15. Romans 7:15, it says, "For what I am doing, I do not understand." What he's saying here is, he's describing himself like under the law. We know what law he's talking about, right? He's not talking about the new covenant law of just behold Jesus and you get changed. No, he's talking about the law of like the law that Moses gave from Mount Sinai, right? And he's specifically talking about the Ten Commandments here, specifically. Now watch what he says. He said, "What I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do," that means what I want to do, "that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do." This is what he's saying. He found, this is what he found out when he tried to live by the law. Paul found out when he tried to live by the law. Now, can I ask you a question? Is the law good? Is the law of Moses good? Is the law of Moses good? Let me ask you that question one more time. Is the law of Moses good? Is it, you guys just shake your head at me or nod. Is it good? You guys are smart people, man. You guys are smart people. For those listening on the recording, I was pointing to Romans 7:12, which says, "Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and just and good." The law is good. Specifically, holy and just and good. Holy, it means it's right. It's right. It's good. Is the law good? Absolutely. So if Paul's trying to keep the law here, what is he doing? He's trying to keep what is good. He's just trying to do the right thing, right? If the law is good, and you try to keep the law, are you trying to do something bad? No. Now, what you're doing is actually wrong in the new covenant for other reasons, but not because the law is bad. But I'll get to that in a second. So the law is good, and if Paul here is describing how he's trying to keep the law, so what does that mean? Well, he's trying to do the right thing. He's trying to do it. He's trying to get into the will of God, as we would say, right? So, but look what happened, though. Let's just jump down to verse 19. Look what happened when he tried to do the right thing. He's just trying to do the right, like, he, look at Paul is not, like, trying to do the wrong thing. There's not, like, some weird, strange problem about Paul that is not common to just men in general. He's just describing your everyday average guy that I'm trying to do the right thing. And actually, even more than even just the average guy, Paul actually said that out of anyone, he probably had the best shot. In other words, among men, he's like, I think that among men, I probably gave it my hardest and my best among everybody at the law. So Paul, this is not just talking about someone who wants to do the right thing. This is talking about someone who is zealous to do the right thing. I mean, he is giving it with all his heart. He is trying, okay? And look what he said when he tried to do the right thing. For the good that I will to do, the good that I want to do, what is he talking about? He's talking about the law. He sees the law as good. He's like, wow, all those things are good. I know that's right. I know it's the right thing to do. So I want to do it. But the good that I want to do, I do not do. But the evil that I will not to do, the evil that I'm trying to resist, that I practice. So, I think that should. Again, I just use Romans 7 sometimes because, I don't know, the Lord just kind of brings that up to me. Maybe it's the easiest thing just to kill this whole concept of if you try to get in the will of God, things are going to work for you. The good that I will to do, I do not do. But what happens when you will to do good of yourself? Well, the evil that you don't want to do, that you will practice. That doesn't seem so complicated in that verse, right? So why are we telling people that if you try to do the right thing, things are going to work for you? God says right here, if you will to do good and you attempt to do it of yourself, you will not do it. It will not turn out good. Instead, you will end up doing what is evil. Right? Like that's not a real complicated verse. If people of themselves, because we have such poverty of ourselves. Now, we're not poor people anymore, okay? Christians aren't poor people because we have Jesus now. He replaced us. He became our righteousness. He became our fullness, okay? We have all that Jesus has and nothing less. So we're not poor people. But I'm talking about just us apart from Jesus. People outside of Christ, you don't have that ability to do what's good. So why would we tell people who are not able to do what's good, if you do what's good, then God will prosper you? the reason you're not being prosperous is because you're outside the will of God. He tried to get into the will of God, and actually, the opposite of prosperity happens. People mistake where prosperity comes from. Prosperity does not come from anything that you can do. You can't make yourself prosper, so give up. Give up. You know, people like to say the word surrender. Sometimes I like that word, sometimes I don't like that word. It just depends on how people use it. But you just give up. And I just, all right, so let's get that out of the way. It's not me trying to do the right thing. What am I doing wrong? Because when you ask that, what am I doing wrong, God? If I just did the right thing, then maybe it would work out for me. Fruit and prosperity and all good things and reigning in life in general is what? Is from the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. So what makes a good message? The Holy Spirit makes a good message. What makes good godliness? Holy Spirit makes good godliness. What makes great witnessing? The Holy Spirit makes great witnessing. What makes good effectiveness in life? Holy Spirit makes good effectiveness in life. What makes prosperity in any area of your life? The Holy Spirit makes prosperity in life. So rather than say, Lord, what can I do? Rather say, Father, teach me how to allow the Holy Spirit to work through me. Right? But that's actually, just to go by my initial example, I stopped thinking, what am I doing wrong with preaching in general? I saw, what am I doing? Instead of thinking about the message ahead of time and thinking about what can I say and how can I say it, I'm like, I'm still going to screw it up. Even if I thought it was good afterward, it's still a screw up if I didn't let the Holy Spirit work. Right? Like, sometimes we even think, oh, it turned out so great. But it really wasn't profitable, only to the extent that the Holy Spirit was allowed to work through it. So I'm like, so why would I busy myself about what to do and how to do it right and get myself all worked up? Because I would. You know what I'm saying? You get all worked up thinking about it and what to say and whatever. And you get all crazy, like nervous and flustered. And why should I do that? Think about what to do if I know that no matter what I do, I'm going to screw it up and it's not going to be profitable if I'm just taking it upon myself. Rather, why don't I sit back and why don't I rest and why don't I actually find out, Lord, how can I allow your Holy Spirit to work through me? Wouldn't that just be a lot better? If the Holy Spirit, think about this, theoretically speaking, even if you don't know what I'm talking about right now, theoretically speaking, if the Holy Spirit could just totally do something for you, do it for you. Let's just say, even outside of your body, right? Let's just, because maybe we'll relate to that a little bit better. Let's just say the Holy Spirit had a body and he was sitting in the chair next to you. And he said, do you want to teach the message today or do you want me to teach the message today? And you're like, no, you can teach the message today. Don't you think it would come out better? Right? You know it would. You're not going to have God sitting next to you and like, do you want to teach today? You want me to teach today? And you're going to be like, no, I got it, Lord. You wouldn't do that, right? Because it sounds stupid. But because he's inside of us and invisible sometimes, we want to go by what we see and we want to be carnal. The Holy Spirit can do things for you. I promise you, he is able to do things for you. You don't even have to think about it. It will just, well, how does it happen? What does it matter to you? He's doing it. Like it's my, okay, if the Holy Spirit had a body sitting next to you, do you really care much how it happens? No, because you don't have to do it. You know what I'm saying? You kind of end up forgetting your work. Maybe before, your stomach was churning because, what do I say? What do I do? What do I say? What do I do? What do I say? What do I do? But if he just came up and taught, what could you do? You could just forget about it now, right? You could just totally forget about the working. I don't say, you wouldn't forget about the message. You'd be listening to it, right? Not that you forgot what was going on. You would know he's teaching a message and you would listen to him. But you would forget the work of it, right? The work would leave your mind. Involuntarily, it would just leave your mind. You forgot your work because you know you didn't have to do it anymore. That's how God. That's the gift that God has already given you. You know what God has already given you that gift? You don't have to go get it. God already gave it to you. You don't have to go get that. God already gave you rest with a capital R. It's Jesus inside of you. He gave you rest. He can do things and produce the fruit for you. Fruit's not going to happen any other way anyway, so why don't we just sit back and find out, Lord, show me how to just sit back and let you do it. How can I do that? How can I do that? Well, this is what we were talking about from Isaiah 55. This is what it's talking about. Isaiah 55. Okay, I'm going to skip a lot of this though, okay? You got to get the first part if you want to get more in depth into Isaiah 55. Like I said, it's up there right now. I called it Listen to Me. All right? I'm giving away a punchline by saying that a little bit. But here's what we were talking about on Friday though. When the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, that Jesus talks about in John 4, how you drink in the Holy Spirit. We went through a lot of that on Friday, but let's move on from that. But when the Holy Spirit produces things through you, that's called feeding from the Holy Spirit. Okay? Feeding from the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of verse I could show you about things about that, even symbolic stuff. It's pretty cool, like with Jesus being born and lots of cool stuff. I'll give you that example. Okay? Jesus, you know Mary, right? Mary, the Virgin, we call her the Virgin Mary just because she never knew a man. If you don't know what I'm saying, then it doesn't matter. You could figure it out. But she never knew a man, okay? Didn't mean because she never met a man. She met Joseph. She just never knew a man. So she never knew a man, which means if she had a baby, you know that was a God thing because that doesn't normally happen. So, and there is not another virgin birth, okay? Jesus, the only virgin birth. So Jesus was born, right? But Jesus was where? Jesus was in Mary, right? He was in Mary. But then Jesus, watch this. Jesus was inside of her, right? It was in her belly. But there came time that she was to give birth. So that when the time came, when the fullness of time came that she was to give birth, she gave birth to a son, Jesus, and laid him in a manger. Now, I know we don't really relate much to the word manger, because it's like, okay, manger just basically means like Jesus' crib, right? Like that's what we think about, laid in a manger. But manger actually means a feeding trough. That's when it means feeding trough. Like it's not like that's some thing I'm making up, or like that's what it means. Like if you look at the word, it means feeding trough. A manger is actually where animals feed out of, right? It would probably be better if he just said laid him in a feeding trough. The word manger is kind of obscure. She laid him in a feeding trough. That's literally what it says in the text, like in our Bible. That's what it is. So watch this. What happened? Jesus was in her. Sure, Jesus in her. But then she gave birth. And when she gave birth, Jesus became food. Who was in the feeding trough? What do you normally put in a feeding trough? What do you normally, all right, let me say this. What do you normally put on your dinner plate? What do you normally put on your dinner plate? Starts with an F, four-letter word. What's it? Food, right? You normally put it on a dinner plate, right? Because if it's a food plate, and you put food in a food plate. If you, a feeding trough, what do you normally put in a feeding trough? Well, you put food in there, right? That's what's called a feeding trough, right? Related to the word food. So when Jesus is born, who is in the feeding trough? Jesus. That's a quick example, okay? But when Christ is born out of us, it's called eating. Food. Who are you feeding on? Jesus. I don't mean you're biting on his arm. That's not the point. You are literally, you take the things of Christ inside of you, when the Holy Spirit brings them out, he puts them right into your body. He puts it right into other people's bodies for you. He puts it right into situations. He takes his power that's here, it gets multiplied, so he doesn't deplete your spirit by taking some of his attributes out. It's multiplied. So it's here, and now it's here too. You know what I mean? Like in other words, okay, if your body, the power of God that goes to your body, it goes from your spirit and puts it right in your flesh. Right in your flesh. You can't even see it. Don't go by what you feel, because it is moving in your flesh if you're seeing Jesus. If you look to Jesus, it's moving in your flesh. It's an awesome thought. Christians have the Holy Spirit moving in their flesh. Comes upon you. That's the word in the Bible. Comes upon you. It's in you, but then it comes upon you, right? The glory of God comes upon you. And it comes upon your flesh. It's in your flesh, right? Because we know we have the Holy Spirit in us as Christians, because we know Jesus. We've received his payment. But it comes into your flesh. It comes upon you. And when that comes into your flesh, it's called the Holy Spirit or Christ in you, because the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit in us is Jesus. It's his spirit. Jesus is feeding your body. Your body is eating from the Holy Spirit inside of you. This is why. At what point did Jesus become food? When he was birthed. He birthed and she laid him in a feeding trough. Why? Symbolically. So she could eat. You know what I mean? That was the point of being in a feeding trough. God had his son born in a feeding trough so you would know the reason why Jesus came. He came to pay the price to qualify you so that God could feed you forever, feed you with abundance, make you fat on all of his goodness. We were talking about that on Friday, and I mean that word in every sense of it. I'm talking about by his spirit. I'm not talking about with physical things, okay? God can make you lean. He can. I believe the Lord with that. I really do. I don't trust food to make me lean. I do not. I'm not saying you should gorge yourself on things. I'm not saying God wants that for you, because God doesn't want you trusting anything but him, because nothing can give you what he can give you. So we shouldn't trust food for satisfaction, for contentment. I'm not saying you should gorge yourself, but only for that reason. Because I'll tell you, I do not trust food to make me lean or exercise. Nothing wrong with any of those things. If I needed to exercise and the Lord led me, then I would exercise more. You know, I'm not saying I don't exercise at all. I do get out a little bit and I go on walks and stuff. But I'm saying, I don't work out anymore. I used to do that more. And if the Lord wanted me to do it again, that's totally fine. I have no problem with it. But even if I did, I would not be trusting that to make me lean. And there's no reason why I gotta grow up and I gotta be, you know, what everybody says you gotta be. You're gonna grow up, your metabolism's gonna do this and whatever. I do not trust anybody but the Holy Spirit. And I'm growing in that. But I'm saying, it doesn't matter. Like Daniel and his friends ended up, they were better looking than everybody else. and their diet was just vegetables and water. If the average person just eats vegetables and water, and everybody else is eating meat and getting their proper diet, naturally, you don't look as good. You look a little pale. You look a little thin. And they look, the word actually in King James is they were fatter, okay? But obviously it's not saying because they were just big plump, they were being slobs or something. That wasn't the point. In other words, they looked, because the word can mean like full, you know what I mean? They looked full, they looked firm, even the word can mean. I'm not saying that they were just huge, like God made them huge and they were just, oh my gosh. That wasn't the point. They looked fatter, they looked fuller, they looked better and fairer and better looking than everybody else after a certain process of time. Why? Because Holy Spirit bears good fruit. Not food, not diet, not exercise. You don't got to read a book on exercise to learn how to get thin and learn how to be healthy. Health comes from the Holy Spirit. If you have to go on a diet, you have to do certain exercise regimens or whatever, there's nothing wrong with it, you understand? There's totally nothing wrong with it. But just understand though, you don't trust that. Right? You don't trust that because the power of God doesn't need exercise to keep you thin. Try the new earth. Try the new earth. The second you see Jesus in his full, you won't be exercising your body into a resurrection. Trust me. Nothing wrong. I'm totally not speaking against exercise or eating right or anything like that. But if you're trusting that to keep you healthy, keep you the weight you want to be, I don't recommend that. Curse the man who trusts in man, makes flesh his arm. And food is fleshly stuff, and I don't want to trust it, right? So like I said, I'm not speaking against any of that, but what I am speaking is that when that it becomes our trust for things like that. The Holy Spirit doesn't need it. Anyhow, understand where I'm coming from with that. But God, the whole reason why I said that is because God wants to feed you with himself. He wants to feed you with himself. Just so you know, I'm going to pause. With the whole diet thing, I'm trying to get your eyes on Jesus. There is nothing that Christ isn't to you. You know that? Good and pleasing and perfect in every bit of it. God has told me things about physical features on my face that he will change. There is nothing that God is not to you. Nothing. Good and pleasing and perfect. Sometimes we even say, you could have your body in a certain way and you know it's not sickness and it ain't disease, but you know what, Lord? I just know that that's not who I am, and I'm not saying I'm discontent or anything like that, Lord. Because my contentment comes straight from you. But you know what, Lord? I believe that I have perfection on the inside of me. And the Lord can change physical features in your body because you have what's pleasing. And once you start believing that, I have already what's pleasing. Not in a state of discontentment. Oh, I wish I looked like this. I wish I looked like that. That's not knowing what you have in Christ. I wish I looked better. I wish my face looked more like so-and-so. I wish I looked more like, I wish I was more this way. I wish I, you do all that, you are totally oblivious to who's living in you. Good, pleasing and perfect. Once you start relating with that first and you say, no, thank you, Father, I have what's good and pleasing and perfect, you're going to start seeing your appearance change. Not because you're discontent and you want what's pleasing, but because you have become firm and confident that you have what's pleasing. Then it bears fruit. You don't get confident after you see fruit. You get confident in who you are because of Jesus. And that's what bears fruit. Okay? So that's what I mean. As much as I said before, I'm not against exercise or anything like that. I want our eyes on Jesus just the way that God wants our eyes on Jesus. That's where he wants our eyes. If you got to do any diet thing to supplement right now where your knowledge is, so be it. That's fine. I'm not saying I go home and I just crash a whole bunch of stuff down my throat. I'm not saying that. You know what I'm saying? You can eat or whatever. If you got to do any kind of regimented thing, whatever, for where your knowledge is at, it's fine. But I'm saying what I said before, fruit doesn't come from food. The Bible says when you busy yourself with food and drink and all these things, it says those who have occupied themselves have not been profited by it. All these diet people, they haven't done themselves a bit of good with all their talk and all of their trust and thinking that health comes from food. And you can eat a celery stalk a day or eat an apple a day and keep a doctor away. You trust food. The Bible makes it very clear that there's no fruit or profit that comes from it. And those who occupy themselves with it, they may tell you they're being profited. The Bible says for us, and I'm going to believe the Bible, those who have occupied themselves with it in Hebrews, they have not been profited by it. Okay, so that's all I mean. I want our eyes on Jesus just the way the Lord does. So, but it is called feeding though. But what we feed on though from Jesus, okay? What we feed on from Jesus is himself. Who he is inside of you, he comes out and feeds you. Feeds your flesh, feeds even other people. This is in Revelation. This is in the book of Ezekiel. That God even feeds other people and sustains even other people. He can produce out fruit out through you and even helps other people. But it's called food, though. This is why when Jesus was, watch, When Jesus was born from Mary, he was born as what? Born as food. He was born as food. Born as food. Like, I'm going to give you one more example. The stone water pots. You guys remember in Jesus went to a wedding? In John chapter 2, he went to a wedding of Cana and turned the water into wine. Well, guess what? There was water in a water pot. And when Jesus drew out the water, it produced what? Wine, right? Well, let's go off of that. And let's read Isaiah 55:1. You'll see that same thing. Because that water is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And when it comes out, one thing the Holy Spirit produces and feeds us with is wine. And obviously, I don't mean physical wine. But watch this. In Isaiah 55:1, it says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat." All I need is write that, and I can make my point. And I'm going to have to close up right here. Okay, I'm going to close up right here. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, come buy and eat. How many waters do you go to and you eat them? Can you typically eat from water? No. If you go to a river and stoop down, we say you drank it, right? But you can't eat from water typically. Obviously, what he's saying is symbolic. If you thirst, come to the waters. Who's the water there? That's talking about Jesus. That's talking about his spirit inside of us. That water is talking about the Holy Spirit. When he says everyone who thirsts, he's saying everyone who doesn't have my spirit, come to me and drink of my Holy Spirit. So what do we do as Christians? We drank of the Holy Spirit. Now we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. We drank in the Holy Spirit. But what happens after you come to the waters and you drink from the waters? After you come to the waters, what happens? It says come by, and what can you do from the waters? Eat. Eat from the waters. Jesus is that water he's talking about. That it's his spirit inside of us. When the Holy Spirit produces from you, he produces fruit. He produces prosperity through you. When he produces good and pleasing and perfect things through you, which we do not have to mind, which we'll get to in a second. That's called eating. So the Holy Spirit, so let me just make that point so I can just get to one more point so I can close with this. When the Holy Spirit produces something to you, it's the Holy Spirit feeding you. He feeds you. He actually goes through some of the things that he feeds you with. Yes, come buy wine and milk. So wine is one word for stuff the Holy Spirit gives us. Milk is another word. Let me say it. Wine is something I won't go over right now. Milk has to do with purity, cleanness, okay? Milk is purity and cleanness. It has to do with that. I could probably define it a little bit clearer, but that is what it means. Purity, cleanness, it's even righteousness lots of times. Milk. The Bible describes milk as something that washes. Okay, so milk is godliness. The Holy Spirit produces milk through you. But he feeds you with milk. He feeds you with godliness, right? Godliness comes from the Holy Spirit. He's saying, come to the waters. If you don't have any money, come buy from my Holy Spirit. From the Holy Spirit, you can get wine and milk and all these things. And let's just go to verse 2, because I have to speed through this. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? And your wages, or King James says, and your labor for what does not satisfy. Like I said, I have to speed through this, so I apologize, but I can't explain everything. It says, why, in King James, why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your labor, in King James, for what does not satisfy, for what satisfies not? Here's what he's saying, and you could get the first part to get more of this, all right? Come to the waters. Come and get the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus said. Come and receive my spirit. You can receive my spirit freely. Jesus already paid for us to have this. So he's like, I already paid for it. You come and get my Holy Spirit. That's an awesome thing, right? Jesus already paid for it, so it soothes your conscience. You're not taking from him. He already gave it. Too late. You can't take from God. He already gave it. You're just receiving, right? As believers, we have received the Holy Spirit. And we received all the fullness of God as a total gift. It was free. We got it for free because Jesus already qualified us for that. His blood was that paid ransom. So we receive the Holy Spirit. He's in us. But God says here, the Holy Spirit, what God wants is God wants the Holy Spirit to be able to feed you with what you need and not for you to labor for what you need. This is what he says. If you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, we just read this, right, in verse 1. You guys stay with me. Like I said, I know we're right at the end here, but you stay with me. If you have the Holy Spirit inside of you to produce and feed you with everything you need, then this verse makes a lot of sense. If you have the Holy Spirit to feed you, and God has already given that to you, then why would you spend money for what is not bread and spend your labor for what is satisfying you not? This is all he's saying. If you have the Holy Spirit in you to feed you with what you need, why would you work for it? Think about it. Jesus pays a price for us. He really wasn't paying a price for our inheritance. He was really just paying a price to get you righteousness. Okay? Like, when Jesus paid the price, he wasn't paying the price, like, for your healing and paying the price for all these things. He, in turn, was. But the main thing he was really doing, in truth, he was really just paying for our sin. Anybody be like, really, that's it? Yeah. You know why? If he pays for your sin, takes your sin, and gets you righteousness, he just got you everything. Righteousness is the qualification for everything that is God's. All Jesus had to do was get righteousness over to you, and then God could come into you, work through you. Why? Because now he can justly do it because you're righteous. So sometimes it's easy just to say, Jesus paid the price for it, and it's true. But really what he was paying the price for was for sin, so that you could get your righteousness. So what he's really paying the price for was he paid the price to qualify you, make you righteous, so that he could work through you, so you could receive everything that's God's. Okay? So think about this. If Jesus already paid for everything, we received it, and it can work through us and produce for us and feed us, why would we work for it if the Holy Spirit can produce it for us? Why would we work if the Holy Spirit can produce for us? Ready? Last point. This is really my last point. I know, we're like on the home stretch. I know, like, we're right there. It's right there, okay? I'm not saying you don't enjoy the word, but sometimes you get like, okay, I'm trying. Okay, but we're almost done. Ready? What did we say before? You can't produce fruit of yourself. This is why God's saying, why would you labor to try and produce something? I give you my Holy Spirit so he can feed you. This is my last point. How is it that we can feed on Jesus? How is it that we feed on Jesus? And if you're saying, okay, I get it. I don't have to work for this anymore. I can not perceive these things as my work anymore. I can allow the Holy Spirit to work through me. Okay, good. How do I do that? How do I eat from Jesus? Ready? How do I eat from Jesus? We're asking that question. Jesus just said that. You can come and eat. Come eat from my waters. Come eat from my Holy Spirit. Come receive from my Holy Spirit. How do we eat Jesus? How do we eat Jesus? Ready? Here it is. New King James Version, and this is the last thing we're reading. Don't have to read another thing. Just read that. We read this on Friday. Ready? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. So God said, all of my waters, all of my Holy Spirit is in you, and it's all good, and it's all pleasing, and it's all perfect. I want you to get to know it. And how can we know these things? You cannot know what you have apart from God speaking to you. Okay? But what's awesome is the Holy Spirit's on the inside of you to speak to you about all that you have. So all we need to do, this is how you eat and receive from the Holy Spirit. Ready? Listen. Listen, listen. Listen carefully to Jesus. In your heart, this is obviously not talking about listening with your ears, it's talking about listening with your mind. Your mind are called ears sometimes. Your mind is called eyes even sometimes. Listen to Jesus. You know what? Lots of times we talk about, you can feed on everything that you have from Jesus if you just believe. You start believing what you have in Christ, then it'll produce. And that's good to say. It's good. But you know, I said this on Friday. You cannot even believe God unless he speaks to you. You can't just believe on your own. The reason why we believe is because what we do is we listen to the Lord, and as he speaks to us, then we can choose and say, Father, I don't harden my heart against it. I believe that, and you can accept it, and it's good, and it produces faith in you. So even before you believe, what happens? You listen. Just so you know, as you go through this life, you are not just the believer that you're just doing it by yourself, okay? You go through this life, you have a shepherd who is speaking to you. And it's not something. You don't have to feel like you're just random. You don't have to feel like you're just pulling something out of a hat. Okay, I guess if I read that today, that's what I'll think on today. Don't get like that. I know it's popular to say this. Let me correct this very, very quickly. I know it's popular to say that whatever you read in the morning, just think about it all day. And you know what? I'm not even going to say that that's like okay, maybe to kind of say. For me, I don't want to just think about what I read that morning. Do you want to think on something you read, or do you want to think on what God's speaking to you? You answer that question for yourself. What do you think is more profitable? And I'm not saying God is going to speak to you something contrary to the Bible. He's going to be teaching you that content, but the Bible is not speaking to you. Jesus. Now, if the Bible is speaking to me, then anywhere I open to in the Bible, I can open it like a magic eight ball and just read it and think about it. And if I thought about it for the day, maybe that's the profitable thing I should be thinking about for the day. But the Bible doesn't speak to me. I want to move our trust away from this, and I put our trust in God, put our trust in his Holy Spirit. This, I understand, Scripture, Holy Scripture, cannot be broken. I understand this is the content of what God is teaching you, but this is not your teacher. Because honestly, sometimes our only time with the Lord is when we have this open. Because we think this is our teacher, and it's not. You carry your teacher with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You are never without the truth. If they burned every Bible in the world and told you it was illegal and they don't allow Bibles anymore, what if they burned every single Bible in the entire world? What would happen? Oh my God, we're without truth? No, you carry it with you. You carry it with you. I understand. That's the content of what he is teaching you, but he is teaching you. There's no carnal thing that's yours. Only the invisible is yours. Only the invisible is yours. I don't want to hear and think on something I read. I understand sometimes we have little devotionals, sometimes we have little cards we pull out of a thing, you have your little daily bread thing, you have your whatever. I still am going to tell you that is not necessarily whatever you read is what God wants to speak to you today. You have someone who's speaking to you, and it's not on a card, and it's not in a devotional book. And I ain't against a devotional. If you want to read a devotional, and you say, you know what, if it's a good devotional, obviously, and you open up for that day and you read something and God spoke something to you, then God spoke something to you. But don't think about something just because you read it. That doesn't make it God speaking to you. Ready? Before we leave this verse, what did it say? Listen carefully to me and you'll eat. It didn't say read a devotional and you're going to eat what's good. It didn't say come to church and you're going to eat what's good. It didn't even say read your Bible. And just because you read your Bible doesn't mean God spoke that to you. Jesus would have been awfully deceived. The devil used the Bible to him. Just because you read something in the Bible doesn't mean that God spoke it to you. Is God the Bible? No. That just happened to be the content of what he's teaching you. But God is not the Bible. So you could read something in the Bible, and it could be like, okay, but I don't get it right now. Maybe that's not what God's speaking to you right now. Do you want to know what the Bible said that day in whatever chapter you read? Or do you want to know what God is speaking to you? Listen to me. Said there was a person in you, and I'm totally, listen, do not misunderstand me. This is the content of what the Lord is teaching you. What is in Scripture, the Holy Spirit doesn't deviate from it. He actually teaches you what's in it, what is recorded in it about Jesus. Nevertheless, we are listening to a person, Jesus, who is with you always, even to the end of this age. That's a lot better than thinking you're learning from the Bible. That's a real independent thing for us to say of ourselves. I'm learning from the Bible and God helps me or something. No, we're listening to him. You're listening to him. And do not get discouraged or weary in well-doing. Listen to him. But I can't hear. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You know why? Because you're not you anymore. You've got Jesus now. Wisdom himself. His name is wisdom. And he's inside of you. Literally, the Bible calls him wisdom. As his name, and he's in you. They don't call him wisdom for nothing. He's inside of you. You can hear. Not because you're you, because you have what's his. Ready? Revelation 3:22. There's a whole bunch of verses that say this. Revelation 3:22. Look at this. This is talking, watch this. Revelation 3:22, it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who has an ear. In other words, if you have an ear. So are you guys people that have ears? Now you might say, oh, of course, look. No, that's not what he's talking about. There's a lot of people that have these ears and they don't hear God. Do you have an ear? Think about it. Do you have an ear? Do you have an ear with an ability to hear? Do you have an ear? You do, you know why? Because you have an anointed ear. I'm talking about your mind. Your mind, your ear. Your ear to the Holy Spirit, you have an anointed ear. Sometimes your mind's called eyes. Sometimes your mind is called an ear. And guess what? You have an anointed ear. That means you have an ear that the Holy Spirit works in. So he who has an ear, that would be us. Those that have understanding himself inside of us. We have an ear to hear now. Blessed is our minds. Blessed are our eyes. They see. And for those that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I am interested in what God is speaking to me. There's a lot of verses that if you were just to try to understand it, you're going to end up deceiving yourself because you can't understand for yourself. You can't understand from the Bible. You can understand from the Holy Spirit, though. You can't understand from the Bible. You can understand from the Holy Spirit, though. That's why, honestly, I'm not saying, listen, I spend a lot, and I'm not saying as a boasting thing at all. I'm trying to make a point across. I spend a lot of time with the Lord. I spend a lot of time, so I can say this, okay? Most of my time is not actually reading the Bible. Now, I'm not saying I don't read my Bible. You understand? If you got 15 minutes, and you know what I'm saying? When I spend a lot of time, so I can afford to do that. Let me not make excuses like that. I don't spend most of my time with the Lord reading in the Bible, though. I meditate on the Word. Now, you can't meditate on something, obviously, that you haven't read before. So I'm not saying that's... Read the Bible. But let me just explain it. There's just a difference, though, when you understand that your revelation is coming from your belly and not from before your eyes in a book. It's just different. It's just different. Because I can go out and say, Father, what are you trying to tell me today? I don't have a Bible with me. I don't have my app open. I'm just on a walk or something. Or I'm just doing something. Or it could be during whatever. Everyone's watching a movie and I can say that. You know why? I don't need a Bible open to hear God. God's in me. You have the portable sound of his voice. A little Toby Mac reference. That's what it is. You got portable sounds to lift you up. That's what it is. That's what it is. I'm only saying that because the Lord used that a while ago for me. It's portable. A Bible's not portable. You can't have it everywhere. He is. The truth is a portable thing. He's inside of you. And guess what? Fruit doesn't come from Bible reading. Fruit comes from hearing what he has to tell you about what Jesus did for you, which is contained in Scripture, yes, of course. But it's still being taught from your belly. It's still being taught from him. Hear what the Spirit says, and you have ears to hear, and have anointed ears, okay? All right, so we're good right there. Like I said, I just want to transfer our minds. The Scripture, the Holy Spirit is totally going to teach you that, but let him hear what the Spirit says. That's what listening to God is. Listening to God is not necessarily listening to a message. Listening to God is not necessarily reading your Bible, unless the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Now you're hearing God, okay? He knows just what you need to hear. He knows just what you need to hear. The Bible doesn't know that. I don't even know that. The Holy Spirit knows that. That's so cool, right? So cool. All right, so we're good, and we're going to close up right there. Remind me, just in case, after we pray, I may just want to give you something, but let's pray first. Father, we come to you right now. We thank you so much, Lord, for your wisdom, for your revelation. And thank you, Father, for your Spirit that lives on the inside of us. Father, if we want your Holy Spirit to work through us, Father, we don't even have to worry about the work at all because we're not the ones that are going to be doing it. Your Holy Spirit makes effortless work, Lord, an effortless change, Lord, through us. And we thank you so much, Father, for that. It's a gift from God that we're qualified for. We're ready, Lord, because Jesus, by his blood, cleansed us and made us clean so that you could rightfully work every good thing through us. It's right for you to work good things toward those who are clean. Father, it is just for you to work good things through those who are clean. And Jesus has cleaned us. So, Father, that's why you produce the good. And, Father, I pray that if we learn anything today, Father, I pray that we would see, Lord, that the good that you want to produce through us, that we can allow that to happen as we just listen to Jesus. If we listen, Lord, to what you're speaking to us, we get a hold of what's the Lord speaking to me recently. And if we don't know, you guys listen up to this right now. I'm more talking to you right now than talking to the Lord. You guys can keep your head bowed and your eyes closed if you want, but let me just kind of give this to you. If you say, well, I don't know how to hear God, or I don't hear him right now, or whatever. You know something? It's the Lord. The Lord is the teacher, and it is his job to get through to you. All you do is give your attention to Jesus and behold Jesus and focus all your attention on him. Focus all your attention on Jesus, and you will find that God is able to speak to you. Because you're already qualified for it. You already have an ear ready to hear. It's anointed by the Holy Spirit. If you don't know how to hear God, that's okay. It's not your job to do the teaching and to get through to your ears. It's like you saying, you don't know how to hear me. Well, that would be my job to get through to your ears. If I speak, your ear just picks it up because I'm speaking to your ear. And it's not your job to pick up the Holy Spirit. You just fix your eyes on Jesus. You focus on him, and you say, Father, you speak to me. I believe you're able to get through to me because I'm qualified for it. I believe you're my wisdom, and I look to you. You're my teacher. I'm listening, Lord. I'm willing to hear whatever you speak to me. And you just go on focusing on Jesus. So we thank you so much, Father, that it is your job to get through to our hearts, Lord, and you are able to do so. So we thank you, Father, for all of that, and we praise your name, Lord. We glorify you. We're happy to have you, Jesus. There's no one like you, Lord, and you're a great friend to us, and you walk with us, Lord, always. And Lord, that's what you said, always, even to the end of the age, you walk with us. And we thank you so much, Father, for us to have a friend like you, Lord, someone who approves of us and actually paid so that you could always have us in your approval and your acceptance. And you love us so much, Father. So we thank you so much for all this, Lord. We see your love demonstrated not just by the word love, but by your works, Lord, and your deeds toward us, the way that you've shown us, Lord, that you've loved us. And we thank you so much for all that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay. One thing I was going to mention to you. just I thought was a cool thing. You know how we talked about the temple before? With the temple? You know that the temple has two eyes. I mentioned it in a message a while ago. It has two eyes. And I'm not going to go through the symbolism, but the two eyes are focused on the gospel in the temple. But those two eyes, they're made out of, in the temple, they're made out of the olive tree. And olive or oil in the Bible is, it means something that causes manifestation. Isn't it pretty cool that she has anointed eyes? The temple has anointed eyes. She's focused on the gospel, sure. But she's only seeing because her eyes are anointed by the Holy Spirit. Again, olives or oil, that means something that makes visible. She has someone working in her eyes to make visible. And obviously our eyes, I'm talking about, is our mind. You have an anointed eye, an eye anointed by the Holy Spirit to make everything visible and clear to you. It's his job to anoint your eyes to make the voice of himself, his own voice, clear to your heart. You focus on Jesus and you believe it. Okay? He said, you never grow weary because your dependence is on him. Your confidence comes from him.